Paddy Power, as much a part of Irish football as hoofing it up to Johnny Walters.
First of all, with John, I'm going to discuss the deaths during the week of Harry Gregg, because a genuine hero, not only of sport, but of life in terms of what he did. How are you getting on, John?
Okay, Johnny.
This death was obviously for a guy who played so long ago, the reaction of the press, and there was so much about it, and the more I read about him, I suppose when he did pass, 87 years of age, was an absolute hero, really, and not only that, but a really self-effacing hero.
Yeah, well, it all stems back to the Munich air disaster, Johnny, where he was a hero on the pitch. But he was a huge hero at that particular time. You know, when the plane crashed, he found himself outside the aircraft and went back in again to pull a few people to safety. And, you know, that took a bit of doing, because there was the plane was on fire and it was very, very dangerous. And that's what he did. So he'd be very well known, and I think a lot of the publicity would be because of the Munich air disaster when it was 1958. So he was a hero on the pitch, and probably a bigger hero off the pitch, Johnny.
Yeah, we'll talk about your own sort of memories in terms of Manchester United and so forth. But just what he did, John, not only did, to the best of my knowledge, he barely spoke about this for the guts of 40 years. Now, there can be, you know, I was actually looking at a documentary recently about post-traumatic stress and how people can react differently to events maybe down the line, but he didn't ever praise his role, and it didn't really talk about it. But actually, as you mentioned, when he was there, and as much as he was dazed, instead of basically running away from what could have been a plane that was about to blow up, he went back in and saved the lives of people.
Definitely. He was a real hero, and I think that's why people would remember him so well. Obviously, he was a great goalkeeper, but, you know, it's so long ago since he played that people, there wouldn't have been as much publicity about him being a goalkeeper as the Munich air disaster. He was a real, real hero in the Munich air disaster. He didn't talk about it for years, Johnny, you know, and then he got to a stage where he talked about it a lot, which was most unusual. I knew him reasonably well. I didn't know him very well before the Munich air disaster. I had signed just professional in November of 57, and Harry came in 57, excuse me. And obviously, it was a big squad of players. But he was always friendly to me, even though I was a young fella. And then I got in the team and actually shared a room with him when we went on to a tour of America in 1960. So he was very friendly with me, and when he was a superstar at that particular time. So I got on very well with him.
Actually, back in 2008, Off the Ball did speak to Harry Gregg, and a certain John Giles actually came up in conversation.
I heard Giles speaking, Johnny Giles, and I thought, great, Gilesy. He said, managers are saying our players are not getting protection. He said, we protected ourselves. Very, very true. That's how much the game has changed. Gilesy, I was lucky I met great people. Even the Dunphy fella. Unbelievable. I hear people having a go at Dunphy. Now, do you know why I admire Dunphy? 16 years of age, and we're playing up the back, and he's a kid, and I give him a whack. I challenged him. And he turned and he said to me, you're going to what? I'm going to see a solicitor about you. So I hit him a cuff around the ear hole. But you know what I admired about Dunphy? Even at 16 years of age, Eamon Dunphy, a 16-year-old child, had the same opinions and was strong enough willed to speak his piece in the dressing room. So Dunphy hasn't changed, and it's not an invention over the years. If he has an opinion, not always right, none of us are, he will state it. And I have time for people like that.
What was he like as a person, John? He comes, you know, from what I read, he came across as a kind of a proper, kind of strong Ulster man who was like very, very decent and proper. What did you know of him as a person?
Really, he was just a good person, Johnny. You know, whether he was an Ulster man or whether he wasn't, it never came into the conversation in any way that I knew him. He just was what he was. He could be. He wouldn't take fools very easily. Mm. He had a bit of a temper, Harry, as well. You know, he could well look after himself on the pitch, off the pitch. But he always had an opinion, and I, as I said, I didn't know him early on. Didn't know many of the Munich Premier, very few of the pre-Munich players. But then I got in the team. I played with Harry for 2 or 3 years, so I got to know him. I got to know him pretty well.
What were his qualities as a goalkeeper?
Well, again, he was a very, very brave goalkeeper. And you talk about, sorry, I'll just go back to a thing we were talking about there before, Johnny. When you talk about stress and the mental situation after the Munich Air disaster, he played in the team 2 weeks after the Munich Air disaster, Manchester United's first match against Sheffield Wednesday at Old Trafford, and continued to play in the matches. He didn't have a break at all at that particular time, you know. Mm. But he was a very brave goalkeeper. I think he was the best goalkeeper in the 1958 World Cup Finals. He was voted the best goalkeeper in that. And then Harry was very unfortunate. He had a very bad injury at Old Trafford. He did his shoulder in. And I don't think he was ever quite the same again after that.
I want to ask you about that, actually, because there's an obituary in The Guardian during the week in which there is a photo of that incident to which you refer, and it was effectively Nat Lofthouse. Now, this was in the 1958 FA Cup final.
58. Yeah.
So Nat Lofthouse was playing for Bolton. Not sure what you remember of this, John, but like history would recall that basically Nat Lofthouse more or less went to do him. Harry got injured, and he was never the same goalkeeper after.
I don't think you got it. No, the injury that really affected him came later on.
Okay.
It didn't come in that particular match. In those days you could attack the goalkeeper, but even by the standards of that day, it was a definite foul. Harry Gregg was jumping up at the ball on the goal line, and Nat Lofthouse came in and belted him into the back of the net. Harry hated Nat Lofthouse forever after that. But that wasn't he didn't get injured. That wasn't the injury that he got. It was a little bit later on, Johnny, where he got the injury that really affected him.
And he mentioned it as well. He kind of never really forgave him. And as much as it was a football-related incident, I think he did hold that grudge to his death that Nat Lofthouse had kind of done him.
Well, he did. It wasn't... I think he would have regarded it as the incident as a little bit cowardly from Nat Lofthouse's point of view. Because Harry couldn't protect himself. He was jumping for the ball, and he really, really buried him into the back of the net. Now, you could attack goalkeepers in those days, but this was beyond that. This was definite foul. And Harry had no chance, because Harry was jumping for the ball, keeping his eye on the ball when Lofthouse hit him. And that was then went on to win the FA Cup as well.
Yeah,
and for Bolton on that particular day.
Did you speak personally to him yourself later in life about Munich?
No.
No.
No, he wasn't... I left in 63, and Harry wasn't talking about Munich at that particular time. Now, I roomed with him. We were on a tour of America in 1960, and I spent a lot of... I was rooming with Harry. I spent a lot of time with him. But Munich wasn't on the agenda at all. Mm. I never spoke to him about it, and he wasn't speaking to anybody about Munich at that particular time. That was only 5 years after the Munich Air disaster. It was a few years after that that Harry opened up about the Munich Air disaster.
It's very hard to get your head around what that would do to anyone, John, isn't it, really?
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, Harry wasn't in the club long at that particular time. That was in February. I think he joined the club around October, November, something like that. And obviously, in football, it doesn't take you long to get to know players, and they were a close-knit bunch, those particular lads, just before the Munich Air disaster. And, you know, you had Bobby Charlton, and a lot of players died in the disaster, as we know. And Harry was part of that. So, I mean, how he did it mentally to get up, get out of the disaster, do what he did, and then play against Sheffield Wednesday within 2 weeks, it was incredible, really. It shows you the courage that he had, and the physical courage to go back into the plane, and physical courage on the pitch as well as a goalkeeper. All the top goalkeepers had to be courageous, and Harry was very, very courageous.
And that's John Giles on the late Harry Craig. We would like to get anyone who can corroborate or otherwise the Guardian's suggestion that he played for Dundalk, which I'm quite interested. I know he did play for a couple of Northern clubs, but after the break, we're going to talk contemporary football with John Giles.
Do you know that bit where they take a break and it goes to the ads? Well, that's brought to you by Paddy Power.
John, I was intrigued by the Atletico-Liverpool game the other night, and as much as Liverpool have been so all-conquering in the Premier League, it should be noted in the Champions League this season that they've played Napoli, who are ninth in the Serie A, twice, and they played Atletico, who are, you know, doing okay in La Liga. I think they're fourth. Mm. And they've scored one goal in those three games.
Well, it can happen, Johnny, as we know. You know, Atletico haven't been at their, you know, best compared to the other years. But you could see the other night, they were a very, very well-organised team. Very difficult team to beat. And what we must remember all the time, these are two-legged affairs. So, you know, I would still fancy Liverpool to win on the second leg. It won't be easy because they're Atletico are a very well-organised team. But it's only the first leg, Johnny, you know?
Yeah, Liverpool has fancied their chance of scoring, obviously, a couple of goals, but it seemed preposterous that some people were criticising Atletico's style of play when, obviously, they did what they did to try and achieve a result, and 1-0 was a great result for them.
Who's that, Atletico?
Yeah.
What, criticising what, the way they played?
Yeah, so people were saying they obviously shut up shop and, you know, they didn't...
Yeah, well, what's wrong with that?
Absolutely.
you can't... I mean, mostly Liverpool supporters, I think Klopp alluded to it as well. You can't, if you're a manager of a team, you can't dictate how the other team does what they do, Johnny. They do their best to get a result, and they went on to win the match. So you can't ever complain, say, well, oh, that's not fair. I don't like the way they played and that. I mean, if you go back to Liverpool alone, don't forget, in the Champions League final last year, they went the goal up after 2 minutes, and they shut up shop a bit against Spurs. You know, you can't ever dictate this is the way I want the opposition to play, or it's not fair the way they play. They play the way they have to get. They play the way they have to get a result, as Liverpool would do if they needed to a result against a team that they had to defend against. Liverpool played well, I thought. I mean, it was unfortunate to lose a goal after 4 minutes, but after that they performed pretty well. But these guys are no mugs. They're very, very hard to break down. And they'll be hard to break down at Anfield as well. But don't complain about it. You can't complain about how a team performs and how they do and do what they have to do to get a result.
We can't forget, obviously, Simeone's incident with Beckham at the World Cup, where he basically, he was fouled, but he kind of half-conned the referee as well. And some of the tactics that they used promoted the notion for Klopp to take Mane off at half time because he was afraid he was going to get sent off because of their play acting. What did you make of that?
Nonsense.
Really?
Nonsense. I mean, they were doing a few things and delaying play and the various things that you do, but you know, I think Klopp said that Mane was targeted in the particular game. You know, Mane's an experienced player, Johnny. He's well able to handle himself and do what needs to be done. I mean, if Klopp took him off as a precaution, that's fair enough. But the few things that did come across me are there was gamesmanship and they did this and they did that and all the other. Atletico did what they had to do on the night. Liverpool are a terrific team, and you can't dictate to the opposition how they should or shouldn't play. You have to get on with it, and it's a two-legged affair. Well, Liverpool have their chance to do it at Anfield.
Yeah, Liverpool are still marginal favourites, right? But if they did happen to get knocked out, right, you'd have to say the gamble that Klopp took, taking off arguably their most dangerous forward to bring on Origi, if that does kind of tend to be pivotal in the two-legged tie, would you not have to say, well, you took a gamble here, Jurgen, and it didn't really pay off?
Well, he's taken loads of gambles over the last few weeks, putting players on. He put Origi on. There's no mug. I wouldn't blame him at all. He did what he had to do on the night. You're playing against a team on the night who are very, very good at what they do. Johnny, they defend well. They don't make it easy for you. They won't make it easy at Anfield. And you have to go with that. Now, Liverpool don't have any divine right, same as any other team, to win any particular match at any time. You have to go out and do it. And they have a second chance to pull it back at Anfield. That's what this Champions League is all about. But you couldn't look back and say, if Liverpool win it, that Klopp slipped up by taking Mane off. Not at all. I mean, he took him off for to protect him by being sent off. I don't agree with that either. I don't think they targeted Mane. It was just that type of game, where they're the type of team, a very physical team, to get stuck into everybody.
The critical aspect.
Take it. You know, that's part of the, it's all part of the game, John. You can't say, oh, I don't agree with the way you did this, you did that. They have the way to do it. Liverpool have their own way of doing it. And you just have to get on with it.
The critical aspect of the game, though, was that they didn't concede an away goal. So they know if they score once in Anfield, Liverpool have to score three. Now, Klopp said, I've no problem with the result. I saw so many happy faces from Atletico. I get that because it's a big win, but it's not over yet. That's the only thing I feel. And Andy Robertson was sort of saying, we're looking forward to seeing you at Anfield. How do you see the second leg going?
Well, I fancy Liverpool to do it. And you know, again with Atletico, whether it's Klopp or Robertson, aren't they entitled to celebrate?
Mm.
They've won at home, you know, they celebrate. Don't Liverpool celebrate when they win at home? Don't all teams celebrate when at home? This is a bit of nonsense, really, Johnny, to be honest. They have a job to do, and I think Liverpool will do it on the night, and there'll be no talk whatsoever about the match last night. You know, Atletico did well. Liverpool are a very good team. They set out to win the match in the manner in which they felt best to do it. And they did it. So there's no good whinging about it. And there's a little bit of whinge in it, I think, from Liverpool's point of view. I think Liverpool will come good in the second leg.
Just got a text in here from Patrick, John. Johnny, I'm sure John fondly remembers Jimmy Conway, Bowes and Fulham. He passed away last Friday, played for Bowes, then went across the water to Fulham and Man City, played and coached the US and earned 20 caps for the Republic. Might have played alongside Giles in midfield.
Yeah, he used to play mostly on the right wing, Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy was a very good player. I think he hasn't been well for a long time, Johnny, from what I can... So condolences to the family. He played for my old team in Dublin, Stella Maris.
Wow.
He went from there to Fulham. And then he went, as you say, to Manchester City, and he got 20 caps. Yeah, Jimmy was a very, very good player. He's been a long time in America and hasn't been well for quite a while, I gather.
And just getting back to the Liverpool-Atletico game, if Liverpool did happen to be knocked out and they go out at what really is a premature stage of the Champions League, and a lot of people are saying they're the best Premier League team of all time, how much does that damage, I don't know, the legacy or the reputation of the Liverpool team if they've coasted to their first league title in 30 years but are knocked out in the last 16 of the Champions League?
Well, the Champions League is a knockout competition, Johnny. And You can't say, well, they're not. I don't think that, well, let's put it another way. They're talking about the best team ever. I don't believe in the best team ever. What about the old Liverpool team and the Manchester United team? They've made the groundwork to be one of the best teams ever. And they still have to do it. I think they're a terrific team, and I think they will go on to be a great team. But there's too much of the greatest team ever, about not just Liverpool, but most teams. They still have to do it, as Manchester United did and the great Liverpool teams of the past. But if they're knocked out, they're knocked out. It's a knockout competition, Johnny. It's not like... You see, last year, I think, when Liverpool won the league, people were saying... won the Champions League. Well, now they have to win the league, which is... I think the league is harder to win, to be quite honest, than the Champions League, because you're playing 38 matches. It's not a knockout competition. You have to be good week in and week out, which Liverpool were last year. And that was a great race because Manchester City had to really do their stuff. It was a great race in the Premiership last year.
Before
we go back to the Champions League, Spurs got to the final. Liverpool, they lost a few matches on the way to the final in the Champions League.
It was extraordinary the way it worked out. Before we finish up, what did you make of Manchester United tonight? A 1-1 draw in Bruges.
They were okay, no more than okay, Johnny, to be honest. You know, they lost the goal early on. Bruges, I was surprised at how good they were. And I think it finished the draw, didn't it?
It did, 1-1, yeah.
Bruges were good. They were better than I expected them to be. And United were just okay.
How do you see it working out at Man United?
I think United will win the second leg.
And in general, under Solskjaer, like, where are they going long term?
Well, they've a long way to go, wherever they're going, Johnny. I mean, they're not great at the moment. They're not as consistent. Manchester United, one of the great clubs, as we know. and they're nowhere near the great teams that they that Ferguson had, for example. There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a long way for them to go.
And how important is it for them to get Champions League football next season? Because at the moment they're seventh place, 38 points, three off Chelsea in fourth.
Yeah, they've got a chance of doing it. Chelsea are not consistent at the moment. Spurs are not consistent at the moment. There's a possibility of do it, but it's when you talk about Manchester United maybe getting into the Champions League, Johnny. When you look at the history of the club, it's not a very good sign. You know, you would expect Manchester United to be there, and they're not there at the moment. Let's put it that way.
Paddy Power, as much a part of Irish football as hoofing it up to Johnny Walters.